6 hours and a few dozen strained conversations with colonists later, I let myself into the black box. The PDA Bennett had loaded the video file into was on his desk, as promised. I picked it up. The video was already queued up and paused at the start. Its first image was of two creatures on a hill overlooking a river. I recognized the hill and one of the creatures from the video I'd already seen. The other one I hadn't seen before. I squinted to get a better look, then cursed myself for being stupid and magnified the image. The other creature resolved itself. It was a waid.
"Hello," I said to the creature.
"What are you doing talking to the guy who wiped out your colony?" I started the video to find out. Chapter 8. The two stood near the edge of a bluff overlooking a river, watching the sunset over the far prairie.
"You have beautiful sunsets here," General Tarsem Gao said to Chan Orinthen.
"Thank you,"
Orinthen said.
"It's the volcanoes."
Gao looked over at Orinthen, amused. The rolling plain was interrupted only by the river, its bluffs, and the small colony that lay where the bluffs descended toward the water.
"Not here," Orinthen said,
sensing Gao's unspoken observation. He pointed west, where the sun had just sunk below the horizon.
"Half a planet that way. Lots of tectonic activity. There's a ring of volcanoes around the entire Western Ocean. One of them went up just as autumn ended. There's still dust in the atmosphere."
"Must have made for a hard winter,"
Gao said. Orinthen made a motion that suggested otherwise.
"Big enough eruption for nice sunsets, not big enough for climate change. We have mild winters. It's one of the reasons we settled here. Hot summers, but good for growing. Rich soil, excellent water supply."
"And no volcanoes,"
Gao said.
"No volcanoes," Orinthen agreed. "No quakes either, because we're right in the middle of a tectonic plate. Incredible thunderstorms, however. And last summer, tornadoes with hail the size of your head. We lost crops with that. But no place is entirely perfect. On balance, this is a good place to start a colony, and to build a new world for my people."
"I agree,"
Gao said.
"And from what I can tell, you've done a marvelous job leading this colony."
Orinthen bowed his head slightly.
"Thank you, General. Coming from you, that's high praise indeed."
The two returned their attention to the sunset, watching as the early dusk deepened around them.
"John,"
Gao said,
"you know I can't let you keep this colony."
"Ah,"
Orinthen said, and smiled, still looking into the sunset.
"So much for this being a social call."
"You know it's not,"
Gao said.
"I know," Orinthen said. "Your knocking my communications satellite out of the sky was my first clue."
Orinthen pointed down the slope of the bluff, where a platoon of Gao's soldiers stood, warily eyed by Orinthen's own escort of farmers.
"They were my second."
"They're for show," Gao said. "I needed to be able to talk to you without the distraction of being shot at."
"And blasting my satellite?" Orinthen said. "That's not for show, I suspect."
"It was necessary, for your sake,"
Gao said.
"I doubt that," Orinthen said.
"If I left you your satellite, you or someone in your colony would have sent a skip drone, letting your government know you were under attack," Gao said. "But that's not why I'm here."
"You just told me that I can't keep this colony," Orinthen said.
"You can't,"
Gao said.
"But that's not the same thing as being under attack."
"The distinction escapes me, General," Orinthen said, "particularly with a very expensive satellite blown to bits by your guns and your soldiers on my soil."
"How long have we known each other, Chan?"
Gao said.
"We've known each other a long time, as friends and adversaries. You've seen how I do things up close. Have you ever known me to say one thing and mean another?"
Orinthen was quiet for a moment.
"No," he said finally. You can be an arrogant ass, Tarsum, but you've always said what you meant to say.
Then trust me once more, Gao said. More than anything, I want this to end peacefully. It's why I am here and not anyone else, because what you and I do here matters, beyond the planet and this colony. I can't let your colony remain here. You know that. But that doesn't mean you or any of your people have to suffer for it.
There was another moment of silence from Orin then. I have to admit I was surprised that it was you on that ship, he eventually said to Gao. We knew there was the risk that the Conclave would come for us. You didn't spend all that time rustling all those races into line and declaring an end to colonization just to let us slip through the cracks. We planned for this possibility, but I assumed it would be some ship with a junior officer at the helm. Instead, we get the leader of the Conclave.
We are friends, Gao said. You deserve the courtesy.
You are kind to say so, General, Orin then said. But friend or not, it's overkill. Gao smiled.
Well, possibly. Or perhaps it's more accurate to say it would be overkill. But your colony is more important than you think, Chan.
I don't see how, Orin then said. I like it. There are good people here, but we're a seed colony. There are hardly 2,000 of us. We're at subsistence level. All we do is grow food for ourselves and prepare for the next wave of settlers. And all they will do is prepare for the wave of settlers after them. There's nothing important about that.
Now it's you who is being disingenuous, Gao said. You know very well that it's not what your colony grows or makes that makes it important. It's the simple fact it exists, in violation of the Conclave Agreement. There are to be no new colonies that are not administered through the Conclave. The fact your people ignored the agreement is an explicit challenge to the legitimacy of the Conclave.
We didn't ignore it, Orin then said, irritation creeping into his voice. It simply doesn't apply to us. We didn't sign the Conclave Agreement, General. We didn't, nor did a couple of hundred other races. We're free to colonize as we will, and that's what we did. You have no right to question that, General. We are a sovereign people.
You're going formal on me, Gao said. I remember that being a sure sign that I've pissed you off.
Don't assume too much familiarity, General, Orin then said. We have been friends, yes. Perhaps we still are, but you shouldn't doubt where my loyalties lie. Don't think that just because you've ensnared the majority of races into your conclave that you have some great moral authority. Before the conclave, if you were to attack my colony, it would be a land grab, pure and simple. Now that you have your precious conclave, it's still a land grab, pure and simple.
I remember when you thought the conclave was a good idea, Gao said. I remember you arguing for it to the other Wa'id diplomats. I remember you convincing them, and them convincing your Atafwe to have the Wa'id join the conclave.
The Atafwe was assassinated, Orin then said. You know that. His son was of an entirely different mind.
Yes, he was, Gao said. Oddly convenient for him that his father was assassinated when he was.
I can't speak to that, Orin then said. And after the new Atafwe took the throne, it was not my place to go against his will.
The Atafwe's son was a fool, and you know that, Gao said.
That may be, Orin then said. But as I said, you should not doubt where my loyalties lie.
I don't doubt where they lie, Gao said. I never have. They lie with the Wa'id people. That's why you fought for the Conclave. If the Wa'id had joined the Conclave, you could have colonized this planet, with more than 400 other races backing your right to be here.
We do have a right to be here, Orin then said. And we do have the planet.
You're going to lose it, Gao said.
And we never would have had this planet under the Conclave, Orin then said, plowing through Gao's words. Because it would be Conclave territory, not Wa'idi. We would merely be sharecroppers, sharing the planet with other Conclave races. That's still part of the conclave mindset, isn't it? Multiple races on single worlds? Build a planetary identity that's not based on species but on allegiance to the conclave to create a lasting peace? Or so you believe.
You used to think that it was a good idea, too, Gao said.
Life surprises, Orinthen said. Things change.
Indeed they do, Gao said. You remember what set me on the path to the conclave?
The Battle of Amin, or so you like to say, Orinthen said. When you took back the planet from the Kies.
Entirely unnecessarily, Gao said. They're water dwellers. There was no rational reason we couldn't have shared the planet. But we wouldn't. They wouldn't. And both of us lost more than we could have won. Before that battle, I was as xenophobic as your damned Atofue, and as much as you're pretending to be now. After it, I was ashamed how we poisoned that planet when we took it back. Ashamed, Chan. And I knew that it would never end, unless I made it end, unless I made things change.
And here you are with your great conclave, your so-called hope for peace in this part of space, Orinthen said, mockingly. And what you're doing with it is trying to pry me and my colony off this planet. You haven't made it end, General. You haven't made things change.
No, I haven't, Gao admitted. Not yet. But I'm getting closer.